views expressed on this program are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of IR and its advert.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it is going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, this is Open Line Wednesday, and we welcome your calls from out across America on any subject you want to talk about. I hear at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. But this evening, I am concerned that we are on the brink of a nuclear war. And it's amazing how, as I listen to the programs and watch television and listen to the commentators, they're talking about all sorts of other things, incidental things, and yet if you watch very, very closely what's going on, you hear people like Senator Lieberman saying, oh, we've got to attack Iran. And this was just earlier this week. We've got to attack Iran because they're providing the explosive devices to the forces there in Iraq that are being used to kill our boys. But then, I was just reading the paper where China is providing surface-to-air missiles to the Taliban that can be used against our helicopters there in Afghanistan. Should we also consider going to war with China? Certainly, Russia is financing Iran and providing large quantities of very, very sophisticated military equipment to them, which when the war comes, if it does come, will be used to take our planes down, to knock out our incoming missiles, to be used against our troops, because we have large numbers of troops stationed in Iraq that will just be sitting ducks if we do go into war over there. They can be used against our ships in the Persian Gulf. Should we go to war with Russia as well? Why would anybody want to go to war? It is totally illogical. If you look and see what's happening in the Near East, in the Middle East, none of this makes any logical sense. So if it doesn't make any logical sense, there must be another explanation. Of course, that is our contention. I mean, we never should have gone to war with Afghanistan. Why did we go to war with Afghanistan? Well, because everybody knows the wicked Osama bin Laden had recruited 19 terrorists, 15 of them from Saudi Arabia, and they were able then to outwit our intelligence agencies, the CIA, the FBI, the Defense Intelligence Agency, the National Security Agency. We have 14 intelligence agencies. We spend something like $40 billion a year, and yet Osama bin Laden, who lives in a cave, was able to outwit them all. It was so simple a caveman could do it. Well, at least one of my supporters sent an email this last week, and I thought that was so apropos. If you've seen the Geico advertisement, it was so simple a caveman could do it. Well, I don't believe for one minute that we've been told the truth. I would simply challenge you to go on your computer, to go to the FBI webpage where they have the 10 most wanted men, and look why the FBI is tracking Osama bin Laden. Look at it and then give me a call and tell me what you find there. Is it possible that the Federal Bureau of Investigation doesn't understand who is responsible for what happened on 9/11? Well, please give us a call. This is Open Line Wednesday. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is Open Line Wednesday, and we always welcome your calls if you have something to talk about, and we'd be glad to talk about your subject. Otherwise, we're going to have to hear what I believe, and I am very concerned that we are on the edge of a totally destructive Third World War, and yet nobody seems to want to talk about it. They want to talk about, will Fred Thompson enter the race for the presidency? Certainly we saw him on Jay Leno last night. Made a very interesting presentation. I mean, what's going to happen as far as the market? Is the market going to stay up? Is it going to begin to move downwards? What about the housing market? That seems to be in a real slump. And what about American manufacturing as more and more of our jobs are moving overseas? Well, let me explain to you, ladies and gentlemen, that if we get into a Third World War, all of these other issues are going to be moot and totally unimportant. And once you start a war, you never know how that war is going to end. It was just this last weekend, I went to Colorado and gave my talk. We call it Iraq, the Untold Story, but it's really a summary of all of the great wars of the last century, and showing how we got into each one of them, whether it be the Spanish-American War, which was totally contrived. In fact, William Randolph Hearst, who ran the Hearst newspapers at the time, sent a cable to Frederick Remington, who was a photographer, saying, "You provide the pictures and I'll provide the war." And they did provide the Spanish-American War. And you can say, well, it wasn't such a bad war. We only lost about 5,000 men. And we never talk about the Philippine-American War. I wonder how many of you in the listening audience have ever heard of the Philippine-American War, where after, of course, we had defeated the Spanish, then, of course, we had to defeat the Philippine people who wanted to be free. And somewhere between 200,000 and 1.5 million Filipinos were slaughtered in the ensuing 4 years. Somewhere between 200,000 and 1.5 million Filipinos were slaughtered as America began to establish its empire, to fulfill its manifest destiny, which has always been to lead the world into the New World Order, the New World Religion, to establish a world empire. And many of the people over there died of disease, but as a direct result of our going in there and destroying the very fabric of their society. And yet there's not one in 10,000 Americans who's ever heard of the Philippine-American War. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're talking about how wars are established, how they're created, and they're never created the way that we're told. We never fight our wars for the reasons that the men who were sent overseas to fight and bleed and suffer and die are told. Now, remember, this is Open Line Wednesday, and if you don't want to hear my monologue for an hour, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, because this is Open Line Wednesday. But if you go, of course, into the other great war of the latter part of the 19th century, that was the Boer War, and most Americans don't understand how the Boer War has anything to do with America. It has everything to do with America. It was basically a created war. It was created by a little secret society that had been created by Cecil Rhodes. And if you go to South Africa, just outside of Cape Town, you'll find the Rhodes Memorial, and there you'll see the bust with the inscription beneath it written by Rudyard Kipling, who is a close associate of Cecil Rhodes. And that inscription says, "The intense and brooding spirit still shall quicken and control." living he was the land, and dead his soul shall be her soul. Now to quicken is to come to life. Cecil Rhodes died in 1902, but his spirit is still here, dominating what's going on in Washington, D.C., and in London, and in Tehran, and in Baghdad today, because Cecil Rhodes created a secret society. And of course, this is one of the things, recurrent themes in our program. You cannot understand anything going on today unless you understand the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created back in 1891. If you were to get the syllabus that goes with my talk entitled Iraq, the Untold Story, it contains Cecil Rhodes' Confession of Faith. He wrote that in 1875, where he talks, and he says, you know, the idea of leaping and dancing before one's eyes is this: why should we not create a secret society to bring all of the nations of the world under American, under English control, and then, of course, to reunite the English-speaking nations? Of course, he was talking about bringing the American government back under British control. And that was the basis of this whole movement, which has dominated the world for well over 100 years. But what most people do not understand is that Cecil Rhodes actually created that secret society in 1891. And if you've read the writings of Professor Quigley, who is an eminent historian, certainly a very liberal historian, but he spilled the beans, he explained what was going on in two books, The Anglo-American Establishment and Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, both of which have been suppressed for many years and both of which are available through my Ministry of Radio Liberty. You can begin to learn about the secret society that became the Round Table, that became the, well, in England, the Royal Institute for International Affairs, and in the United States, the Council on Foreign Relations. And once you understand that, so much becomes obvious, because, well, all you need to do is wonder why, for instance, they're advocating Fred Thompson for the dark horse candidate. In fact, he's at number two in the polls for the Republican nomination. He hasn't even declared he's going to run. Well, of course, Fred Thompson just happens to come from the very, very small number of people who belong to the Council on Foreign Relations, which is simply a front for the internationalist globalist secret society Cecil Rhodes created in 1891. And you want the rest of the story, you're going to have to get my DVD, Iraq, the Untold Story, and I suggest you get the syllabus that goes with it, because it has so many of the documents you'll never find elsewhere. And yet, of course, it will help you then to understand how we got to where we are and where we're going, because those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Well, again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we've got Joe calling from Michigan. Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Ben. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
That's good. I just have a few comments, and I just wanted to get your take on them.
All right, fine. Well, that's what we love to do on Open Line Wednesday.
Okay. Well, yeah, I've been involved with the sovereignty movement for a long time, and, you know, I've come to some conclusions, and I just like to see what you think. You know, one of the things I see going on is that there's this blind faith in America. You know, there's just ignorance is bliss as to what's going on. But there's this blind faith that really makes the people believe that they're free. And I think that there's something to that. You know, it's just like a child who believes that God's going to take care of them, and God takes care of them. That's the first thing I wanted you to comment on. Do you notice that? And do you think that there's any validity to that blind type of faith?
Well, I believe, of course, that we need a faith in God, and we're going to have to rely upon Him to look after us. But that doesn't mean we may not die or we may not go through some difficult times. But faith in God is entirely different than faith in country. I believe in the ideals which were foundational to establishing America. But what most people do not understand, and what people in the sovereignty movement and the others don't understand, is there have been two forces in America, here in the United States, since our country was founded. One was the Christian element that believed in the idea of men being free and limiting the power of government. The other was the occult force that always wanted to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., and use the military and financial power of the United States to establish a world empire and lead the entire world into a one-world government, a one-world religion, with a one-world leader. And people in the sovereignty movement don't understand that, and they think that, oh my goodness, you know, we've got all these laws that guarantee our freedom. Those laws have been trashed long ago. It's wonderful to talk about, but the reality is there's some wicked and evil people who've gained control of the reins of our government, and I always like to say to them, I think you're going to be the best educated person in the concentration camps, and as you know, they already are preparing those concentration camps for the American people.
Yeah, I do. So, in other words, you're basically saying that you don't think that blind faith will lead the people through. I mean, this blind faith that they think that they're free.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Secondly,
do you agree or disagree?
There's mystery in that blind faith that I don't think that I can really comment. I really believe in what you're saying. I've researched a lot of it myself, and I know that it's going on. And there's just that mystery that I'm not quite sure of. I would tend to go along with you, but there is just that, you know, it's just that faith that the people have. It's just so simple, like a child. And
it's so simple, unfounded, and I believe it's potentially dangerous.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that you have to be a realist and know what's going on, and you have to be prepared for what lies ahead. And I think what's going to happen, you know, if people have a simple faith that is unfounded and times get bad, then they lose their faith.
Yeah.
And I saw this, of course, in Europe following the Second World War. And all these Christians over there who would honestly believe their ministers that nothing bad would ever happen to them, they were to support the German government, and they kept quoting Romans 13. And then there were others, of course, who believed that the rapture was coming, and at any time, of course, we were going to have a rapture, and they were going to be taken out before times get bad.
Yeah.
And there are so many Christians in America who have that belief today.
Yeah.
And I wish that they were right, and I hope and pray they're right, but I don't think they are. And what's going to happen to them? Oh, what, of course, we see our cities in rubble,
right,
and we see our family destroyed and our nation ravished. They're going to lose their faith in God because they put their faith in the wrong thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand what you're saying. Relative to the reality that you were speaking of, when you look at the situation there in Iraq with Baghdad, you know, the United Nations was behind that whole thing, and it just took so much intensity from our army and the United Nations to contain that little place like Baghdad. And the United Nations at one point in time just kind of cowardly turned their backs and ran. When you think about, you know, our government turning on us, and say the United Nations bringing its army in to control America, this huge country with all these hunters, backwoodsmen. I mean, do you realistically think that they could be successful in doing such a thing when you compare it to, say, that little country like Baghdad, or that, you know, little country like Iraq, and all the problems that they've had there?
I think that they can. I think right now, of course, they know everybody in this country. They've been conducting dossiers on them for a long period of time. And they don't have to pick up everybody. They just have to pick up the people who you know, are concerned, would be patriots, who may have guns, or who may have talked on the radio. They monitor the talk radio. They've infiltrated our conservative movements. They finance the militia movement and the Minuteman movement here. Certainly they've infiltrated our religious organizations. I do not know one major conservative or Christian organization that is not infiltrated by government agents today, directing them and, of course, manipulating the leaders. So we've got real problems in America. And then I think that the American people, a lot of them have lost that desire for freedom that once made us a unique people. And so many of them have been trained to be submissive, and then they've done so much terrible damage to the minds of our children with fluoridation, with the mercury. I mean, you read every time you pick up a newspaper, and they've got some new testing of our children to see how they are, and they keep going down. The testing and reading scores go down, you know, year after year after year. And they say we need more money for education. No. they're destroying their minds. If you've ever watched Jay Leno and his, you know, his jaywalking, you know, you see these young people, they have no ideas, even, you know, buried in Grant's tomb.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't know, put Obama's picture up in front of them, you know, they think it's Al Sharpton. We got a real problem, and just hang on there, Joe. We'll be back in just a moment. And give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But Joe, certainly, we would like to think that everything's going to be fine, that they're not going to be able to enslave us, but I don't know any reason why they can't. They're very, very clever. I mean,
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
One 888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, basically, as we look and see what's unfolding in the Middle East, we find that the administration is taking additional troops over there, and actually has had not one group, but several groups. And right now, of course, they're planning on moving many more troops over. And this has nothing to do with trying to bring peace and stability to Baghdad and to Iraq. This is in preparation for the coming war with Iran, in my estimation. As you know, we have two carrier groups and certainly one auxiliary group, the Bonhomme Richard, that is over there. That's a Marine strike force, and I think there's something like 15,000 Marines there on six or eight ships. And I think it's only really a matter of time before the war comes about. Now, the information I have, and remember, all I have is what people I believe are telling the truth are telling me, that the military is ready for this. As you know, they have actually failed to reappoint General Pace, a four-star Marine general, as head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's being replaced with an admiral. And the reason that they've chosen as admiral is because the attack is going to be primarily a naval, and it's going to involve a lot of missiles from the naval ships. It's going to be primarily naval airplanes, although the Air Force will be involved. So the Air Force and Navy will be the primary ones, and this will not be primarily a Marine operation. But really, to my chagrin, even though I'm sure that there are some generals and some admirals who are opposed the war, apparently most of them are on board and ready to go on, because that's what soldiers and sailors and Marines do. They fight wars. And you would think there'd be some cool heads out there that are saying, we're moving towards a disaster, but I'm afraid not. Anyway, let's go to Mark, who's calling from Richland, Washington. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Pretty good, Dr. Stan.
You have a question or comment?
Well, I think that this war is imminent. I've been listening to what you've been saying, and I agree. And I am aware that there is a draft bill for the military that's been introduced by Charlie Rangel, Democrat of New York. They want to draft men and women 18 to 42.
Well, don't you think that our people should be willing to fight for our country?
I do, if the war is just, and I just don't believe that this one is it.
And I thought it was one of the certainly questions was asked, I think, of Ron Paul the other evening, you know, because they give them all different questions. And,
right.
You know, what do you think the greatest moral problem of our time is? And they're expecting, I'm sure, to say homosexuality or the situation as far as abortion. And his reply was, we have failed to define what a just war is, and we've adopted the wrong policy, accepting what's going on as a just war. I thought it was a beautiful answer. They didn't know what to say, because I do not believe this is a just war.
Right, and I agree. I'm concerned about the warships that are off the coast of or there in the Gulf. The $100 billion that's been given by the Congress for the continuation of this war, and then the Pentagon wants to increase troop strength to about, I believe it is 200,000 in Iraq alone.
Right.
So I'm just real concerned that I believe they're gearing up for an invasion.
Well, whether they're going actually to try to invade Iran, I don't think they could do that. Remember, the Iranians lost 1 million men, when they had the war there in 1980 with Iraq. So I don't think that our leaders would be foolish enough to try to invade Iran, but I believe that Iran would invade Iraq and kill our boys. They would retaliate, because when you go into another country and you start killing their people, they have a moral a right to come and kill our people. I don't want to put our boys in harm's way. I don't want to sacrifice any more human lives. And especially when we brought the Ayatollahs to power back in 1979, and the Ayatollah Khomeini was being backed by the CIA, And we have a recent article from the Washington Times where a gentleman tells about talking to the Shah, who said, "The American government and the English government toppled my government and brought the Ayatollah to power." And I believe that's absolutely true. And we even provided him with the Republican Guard, well trained by the CIA. Hang on there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Mark from Richland, Washington. And, Mark, the thing that most people don't understand is nothing as it appears to be, and I see the hand of the occult hierarchy that rules the world backing both the Iranian government and our government and manipulating both of them towards this genocidal war that lies ahead, and our boys are just sitting ducks over there, because they're massing troops. The Iranians are massing their troops on the border, and they will be able to use the missiles that they've gotten from the Russians. They got the technology from America and the financing from America, and you certainly want to read my last couple of newsletters, how we have financed this entire Russian scientific buildup so that they can provide the weapons for Iran and Syria that will be used against American boys in the coming war, exactly as we provided the technology to build the German weapons for Adolf Hitler that were used against our boys in Normandy and Bastogne and in the battles of the Second World War. But nobody ever wants to talk about that.
No, no, you're absolutely right, and it is shocking. It's terribly shocking, but unfortunately it's very true.
Right.
It's very true, and I've been on the website for Selective Service, and I've seen the extreme policy changes that have been made. They want to draft men, they want to draft women. It doesn't matter if you're married, it doesn't matter if you have children. In fact, many of these policies are being practiced, they're being carried out right now with the men and women who have volunteered.
Because once you get in, you sign up for 2 years, and they just keep you indefinitely.
That's right.
So you'd never want to volunteer. If you do, you have to understand they're going to experiment on you. You're cannon fodder. You're
right.
Supposedly able to get out at the end of your agreed term, and they just don't let you out. They call it some sort of a draft. I forgot what the word that they have, but it's involuntary draft, I think it is.
Right. Right. Well, it's called the Universal National Service Act of 2007. It was just introduced into Congress this last January. And, in the bill, the language says, you will be conscripted for a period of 2 years unless, the president decides that he would like to extend that period of service. So it's as you say, whether you volunteer or whether you're conscripted, once you're in, you're in. And
the thing is that a lot of people came to America 100 years ago so the sons wouldn't have to fight in senseless wars.
Right.
And now we're doing the same thing to our own sons and grandsons. Hold on, we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly I believe that every American should be willing to fight for his country. But we are not fighting for our country in Somalia today. We are not fighting for our country where we have men stationed in 130 nations. We are not fighting for our country in Afghanistan today. We're not fighting for our country in Baghdad. And the fact that, oh my goodness, if we don't fight them over there, they're going to follow us home. Well, if they want to follow us home, why haven't they already done it? If there was really a threat of terrorism, the president would have sealed the southern border immediately after the 9/11 attack, and he did not. So we have to ask, does he really believe that there is a threat, or is this all simply a lie to justify establishing a police state, expand the war, and, of course, eventually bankrupt and destroy our nation? I really believe that's the purpose of the occult forces that are working behind the scenes, and heaven help us. Anyway, what else would you like to say, Mark?
Well, one of the points that you make up and that you just brought up and that I bring up when I talk to people is our border with Mexico. Why is that border? It's so blatantly open and really unguarded, and it's and yet it's being violated every day by millions of illegal aliens from Mexico.
And I always tell people, look, go to the FBI website, look at the 10 most wanted men, and see why they want Osama bin Laden is wanted. Maybe the Bush administration should tell the FBI who was responsible for what happened on 9/11. I mean, it's almost comical if it weren't so tragic.
Well, and as you say, and as I've heard on your program before, the CIA has even admitted themselves that the pursuit of bin Laden is no longer a priority.
Right.
You know, and why is that?
Because he was never a problem. He was always a CIA asset. That was the difficulty. And you can go in, you can find out that we funded the Taliban all during the 1990s. Carry a wonderful book entitled Unholy Wars, written by James Cooley, foreign correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, and he will tell you in 1994 why the CIA, the Saudis, and the Pakistan began funding the Taliban. They were Muslim students who had been indoctrinated in this radical form of Islam by the American government, the USAID, and with the help, of course, the Pakistanis and the Saudis, but they've both been extensions of this whole occult hierarchy we talk about. We created the best enemy money could buy, once again. But you have to have an enemy, and then you've got to get us to hate the enemy,
right.
And we've got to hate those Islamofascists, just as we want them to hate us, and boy, then we can have a real great war, can't we? And, of course, if you read about my February newsletter, I simply quote Alice Bailey, who is under demonic control, and she lays it all out there on page 6 of my February 2007 letter, where she talks about how the plan is to have the Jewish religion and the Christian religion and the Muslim religion go to war and just destroy one another. And out of that will come this new world order that they want. And remember, of course, it was her term, the New World Order, that George Herbert Walker Bush picked up in 1990 on September 11th, or 1991, I can't remember which it was. And, of course, it was her term, points of light, that George Herbert Walker Bush used, and everybody said, oh, gee, isn't that a great term? Not realizing those terms came right out of the writings of Jua Kuhl, who channeled them through Alice Bailey. And you can get them down off of her website. Anybody go up on the Internet and look up Alice Bailey, and she was demonically possessed. Anything else, Mark?
No, I think that's about it.
Okay, God bless. Thanks very much for calling here. And
God
let's go. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Paul calling from Arizona. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan.
And let me just get our telephone number off one more time. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And what part of Arizona do you live in, Paul?
In the White Mountains.
Okay, very good.
I've been listening to the conversation. So many of the programming, so much of the programming is about taking America back. And I don't think there's any chance whatsoever. I'm about your age. I was born in 32, and I can't recall if you're 2 years older than I am. Or
I'm a couple of years old.
You are?
Right. I was born in 29.
Okay. I can remember the late 30s, or actually the mid-30s, and the 40s and the 50s.
Wasn't America a great spot then?
It was, and I loved it, and I think God loved us. We had problems. But now he's going to bring his judgment on us. And if I look at the country, I won't say you, but just looking at the country, my conversations with other people are as we have become a lie. And there's nothing that God hates worse than a liar. But if you look at our country, our economic system is a lie. Our financial system is a lie. All of our advertising, our news, or lies. Our political system is a lie. I can't think of one saving grace. Our religious systems are lies. We have become a lie. The way we try to pose ourselves to the rest of the world, our our foreign policy is a lie. And God isn't going to put up with that.
I think you're absolutely right, Paul. And I think that what most people forget about is that when we discuss what's going on, we talk about right, left, we talk about history, we talk about all sorts of things, but we never talk about God. And God, I believe, is going to bring his judgment on this nation. Maybe after that, things will get better. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe America is going to be destroyed. And
I think we will be. I believe, not to give accolades to the Arabs, but I do believe we have become the great Satan.
Well, we're just going to have to wait and see. But I think we're on the edge of some terrible, terrible things. We are living in the most dangerous, frightening, but exciting times, because if you know the Lord, and I know you do, why, you realize, of course, we're going to see his hand eventually one way or the other, either to crush this nation or maybe to bring a great revival. I don't know. I don't think there's going to be a great revival. I do not see any signs of it, but all we can do is wait and see.
I think there will be of a sort once it starts. I think it will be the greatest time. That's what he's preparing me for. I know a lot of other people, you're already doing it. There are going to be, he's bringing his judgment not because he hates us. He's bringing it out of mercy because he knows once it really gets bad, once it gets tough, once he's taken away everything else that we could stand on, then we'll turn to him.
I think you're absolutely right, Paul. That's the only thing that's going to get people's attention, is to lose their financial security and to lose their affluence.
Right.
And this, when blood runs in the streets, why, of course, there's that old saying, you know, in war there are no atheists in the foxholes.
That's true. And I think he's going to take everything away from us that keeps us from him, and that means the money, the automobiles, the fine clothes, the beautiful homes, the whole thing. It's going to be destroyed.
Well, I think the one thing to Paul, though, all those things really are unimportant. Certainly, I like living comfortably. I like my home and certainly the opportunities that I have. But in the final analysis, it's our relationship with the Lord is all that's really going to count.
Yep.
I'm going to have to let you go, but thanks very much for calling.
Nice to talk to you.
But the important thing is we have to be prepared to talk to people and explain to them how we got into this mess, and that the only possible solution, the only hope that they have when there is no hope, is in our Lord Jesus Christ.
To repent.
Amen to that. Bye-bye.
Good night. God bless you.
And you too. Well, let's go to Jack calling from Michigan. And again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Jack. How you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Well, thanks. You had mentioned USAID, and there's an article, I believe you said it was the Washington Post?
Yeah, we have a Washington Post article entitled, the ABCs of Jihad, pointing out that the USAID had put out, I think, $51 million for textbooks to indoctrinate the Islamic youth of Afghanistan and Pakistan in this radical form of Islam.
That was the CIA.
No, it was USAID that did that, the United States Agency for International Development.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But they all work together. I mean,
yeah.
We got more alphabet soup agencies out there. But they have all been working to create this radical form of Islam, because if we're going to have a war, we got to have an enemy, and we got to get us to hate them. We got them to get them to hate us.
You know, Dr. Stan, you're the first one I ever heard that from, and I would have thought that the likes of Jerry Corsi and others who are intimately knowledgeable of this clandestine process of disinformation propaganda would have known that.
Well, I wouldn't think they necessarily would. I've only seen it written two places, and unfortunately we have both of those articles. But, you know, the thing is that it's so difficult to imagine anybody would want to create a resurgence of this radical form of Islam that has been more or less dormant for 50 to 100 years.
Well, Dr. Stans, like you've always said, and all your resources have proved throughout history, it's always the case that this government, which is fascist to the core, has been subverted, subjugated by these international secret society organizations, and some of which, like Paul Wolfowitz's, well, not his, but he kind of, like, you know, the New American Century, they have all this going on because they want a new global American empire. And isn't it the case that the American taxpayer is funding this genocide police action again? Or would it be the case that the CIA, what I call the Central Insurrection Agency, has some covert drug smuggling operations to perhaps fund this?
I think it's probably both of them. We don't know where the money comes from, but we do know that USAID would have U.S. funds. But I'm sure they're doing lots of other things to foment hatred of America, just as we're doing everything they can to get us to hate the Muslim people by calling them Islamofascists. And they've created this new world, and they keep using it over and over again, to implant it in our mind, to equate anybody who's a Muslim with fascism. And after all, we have to hate the fascists, don't we? But everybody's forgotten that during the Second World War, at the time leading up to the Second World War, why it was American corporations and American liberals who were actually saying how wonderful Benito Mussolini and his fascist society were. Hey, we're out of time, but thanks very much for calling.
Dr.
Bye-bye, and God bless. And let's go to Mike, who's waiting patiently. Hi, Mike. Did you have a question or comment?
A little of both, Stan, regarding the last caller. If the tax money doesn't do it and the drug money doesn't do it, they just print whatever else they need.
Sure, okay.
And the caller before that was great. He was talking about how America has become such a lie. And that ties in with the announcement I wanted to bring, at least for the local audience tonight, about Dr. Bob Bowman coming to speak tomorrow night. That's June 14th down at 611 Ocean Street. We'll be discussing all these things that are going on in America, especially since 9/11, but also including things like the way we've just plain been divided at the grassroots level all over the place between liberal and conservative and every color of the rainbow in between.
Okay, now that's the old Holiday Inn.
Right.
And at what time do the doors open?
The old Holiday Inn, that's now the University Inn and Conference Center. The doors open at 6 o'clock. The event starts at 7. Tickets are $15 at the door, $10 in advance, $5 if you have a senior citizen or a student ID. And or you can call 477-4556 for other details and to purchase in advance.
And one more time, the telephone number.
477-4556, and this is sponsored by the Santa Cruz 911 Truth Network.
Okay, we got to let you go because we got another caller, but God bless. Thanks so much, Mike. And let's go to John calling from Yakima, Washington. Hi, John.
Hey, Dr. Stan, it's been a while.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I appreciate you very much. I wanted to say that, too. I heard a thing today where these elites, you know, are building their own private army, something like 300,000 Blackwater troops. Have you heard anything like that today?
Well, we know that they are building their own private army. The Blackwater has somewhere 30,000 to 40,000 armed contractors over in over in Iraq, and I'm sure that they are going to build their own private army. These will be like a Praetorian Guard that will
be
looking after the politicians when the people suddenly realize they've been betrayed by their leaders. We have no place in a free society for a Praetorian Guard, for a Swiss Guard, or for a Blackwater Guard. And when we saw during the tragedy when Katrina hit New Orleans, and, of course, there weren't any troops there. They couldn't get enough troops to guard the city because they were all over there fighting for freedom in Iraq and Afghanistan. So they brought in the Blackwater troops with their militarized uniforms and their automatic weapons going door-to-door, terrorizing the people.
I remember that.
Taking away the weapons. So I think that we should ask, why are we having these private militaries? Do they want people who have no loyalty to America, who are professional killers, and that's what they are, who, of course, will fire on American citizens, I think everybody should be concerned.
Yeah, okay, Dr. Stan, I just want to make that. I remember seeing back in 1965, I think it was Huntley and Brinkley News. I'd sit down with my dad and watch the carnage that comes back over the newscast, you know, about how many guys died and so on. And I remember that back then, and then lately I've been watching these young guys coming back the same way. Same thing, same scenario. And I was thinking about, we're sending our guys over there, our kids, and this administration seems to be decimating our army.
But you have to
building their own.
You have to understand, John, that that's part of the plan.
I know.
You kill off the young and the patriotic, who will there be to fight for America?
I know.
You poison their minds with fluoride and with mercury and aspartame. You send them over there where they're going to get poisoned with depleted uranium.
Yeah.
We have the statistics from the Veterans Administration of the 697,000 troops we sent to the first Gulf War in 1991.
Yeah.
Over 78,000 are already dead. How could that be? Those are young, healthy people. But of course, you're never going to hear those statistics. Anybody out there in the audience like to get them? We'll be glad to send you a copy from Radio Liberty. Give us a call. You need to find out what's going on. So many of the people are ill and will be the rest of their lives. Hang on, John. John, do you have anything else you wanted to say before we...
Oh, no. I don't call in because I listen to you every night. I look forward to it, even though I don't like hearing some of the material. I just had to call in tonight because, you know, I've been thinking about what a blessing you've been for the last 5 years for me. I've had to back out of the church because nobody's being prepared for anything. I'm having to take things into my own hands and, you know, get this message out because it really was an eye-opener 5 years ago. And I want to thank you.
Well, I appreciate you saying that because sometimes it's sort of a lonely job. I sit here in a room all by myself. My only connection with the world is a screen where I produce in the other room. They're all volunteers, incidentally.
Yeah.
I sit and time's up and says, John from Yakima. But if I can reach you and you can begin to reach other people, and maybe you're not going to get everybody to reach the leave the church, but I hope you can find a few people, and if you have to, form your own home church. You know, have some fellowship with your, people who believe as you do, and at least get them prepared, because we're going to have to be prepared financially and physically, but mostly spiritually, for the very difficult times that lie ahead. And, you know, if we could do this in Yakima and upstate New York, and we've got, you know, stations all across America. We don't have a lot of listeners, but we've got, what, 20, 30, 50,000? I don't know how many listeners we have, but at least some of these people are going to be prepared. And
sure.
I feel that's what I'm called on to do, and I'm glad that you're getting prepared emotionally and spiritually for what lies ahead.
Yes, all right, Dr. Stan, God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thanks so much. Okay, well, that was John from Yakima, and I hope out listening across America. You know, you enjoy our Wednesday evening programs. It's purely spontaneous. It's open lines and what you want to talk about. So if you have something you'd like to talk about, why, think about it this week. And then next Wednesday, God willing, why, we'll be here and you can ask your questions. Or if you have something you want to say, why, that's fine too. But as I said earlier, I think we're entering the most dangerous times of my life and of yours. Prepare yourself for what lies ahead. And certainly, don't be frightened. I mean, fear is a terrible thing. I mean, how wonderful it is to know we do have a Savior. How wonderful it is to know that we're on the right side of this religious battle. There are people on the other side of great wealth, and they have unlimited power, and they have unlimited money, and they have great homes, and they have all the affluence of that humankind can provide for them, but they're going to spend eternity in hell for sure. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we really depend upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day, and then with a weekend program try to educate people and make them understand we're involved in a spiritual battle, being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. Now, if you have not yet seen my talk on the forbidden secret, you need to get that. It comes with the syllabus, if you'd like to get that. My talk on Brotherhood of Darkness comes with a book. My talk on Iraq, the Untold Story, and that comes with a great syllabus. That's the talk we gave this last week in Colorado. And let me tell you that we probably had 180 people there. That was a pretty good turnout. Certainly there were about 150 tickets sold, and about 30 they gave away. And there was a big auditorium, held 450 people, and every maybe had 180 there. But there was a good feeling. Nobody got up and left, although I couldn't tell. The audience was completely black. There wasn't a light there. And I was sitting there all, you know, standing up there on the stage, totally exhausted after having flown in and already been under a lot of pressure and doing other interviews. But it went very well. But I think the story, and we have it on audio, pardon me, on DVD, Iraq, the Untold Story. That's really the story of all of the wars of the last century, and the syllabus I really think is great. And then, of course, we would suggest that if you have not yet, got yourself laid in the supplies of food and other things you need, and I'd like more additional information on that, give us a call. Well, a catalog, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. But of course, go through us or through someone else. The major thing is begin making preparations. Do not put them off. We're not talking about something's going to happen at some time in the distant future. Now is the time you need medical supplies on hand. You need, of course, to have the things that you would need to survive if you could not, of course, get to the store. How would you filter your water? How would you store water? How would you stay warm? All of the things you'd need if suddenly the whole structure of society began to collapse. What's going to happen? I don't know. But I really fear that we're going to see God's judgment being brought on this country. Because if you look at what's going on from a purely logical point of view, nothing makes sense. If you expect that we're dealing with logical people or going to do logical things, why, you're sadly mistaken. There is another force here, and this is the spiritual forces we talk about. There really are secret societies. There really are demonic forces within our nation. Incidentally, if you have not yet heard our four CD set, The Secret Behind the Secret, that takes you into Rhonda Byrne's work. And Rhonda Byrne's, of course, has been featured on Oprah Winfrey and Larry King and Jim Carrey and so many of our main people there in the entertainment industry say this is such a wonderful thing. If you learn the secret, you can begin to transform your world. And that really is true. If you apply the secret, your world will transform, and you'll be under demonic control, and you'll be well rewarded, just like the leaders of our country are today. But of course, eventually comes the day of reckoning. Understand what the secret is. It's an introduction to demonic possession. And literally millions of Americans have adopted this because they're not being warned by their churches about the other dimension, that there is another dimension. There are demonic forces that are at work within our society today. They're working within our government, within our military, within our corporations, and of course they're also working within our churches. So please learn to pray for America. Pray for our leaders, our ministers. Pray for revival and hope and pray it's going to happen. I'm not sure it will, but pray for it anyway. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And again, our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are at war today. And till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And for this next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Fletcher, who was supposed to have been with us for the full hour last evening, and we got the wrong number here. We didn't have the right telephone number, and so we didn't get him on until half past the hour. And Bob has so much to say. He talks on weather control, weather modification, of course, concerned about the identification card, which is a prelude to dictatorship in America, and so many other issues. He's testified before Congress on several occasions, and but, you know, in years past, most people didn't pay much attention to him. The things he said sounded so outlandish. Well, today they don't sound outlandish at all. They sound more prophetic. So I appreciate Bob being willing to come on with us again tonight so we can just go over some of the things we covered last night and cover the other important things. Bob Fletcher, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Stan. It's my pleasure. Always enjoy your program. And by the way, for the people that don't realize it, how many years have you been doing basically a program now?
Well, I've been doing, I guess I got started doing the program about 93, but so that's what, about 14 years. But, you know, I've been at this battle for 45 years, going back 1942, and yeah, it's been an exciting time.
Yeah, and of course, what's amazing is the, I got into it in, well, actually around 1987, being taken advantage of in the middle of a covert operation, and that was what opened my eyes. And then, in pursuing legal action, which I thought was going to be very easy to do, because I was taken advantage of and it was all on a contractual basis. And I don't want to get into that story tonight because it's too long, but it opened my eyes, because when my lawyer friend and I thought we were going to pursue a simple contractual situation and get paid on it, it turned out that it was a secret covert operation, of course linked at that time to Oliver North and the Iran-Contra mess. And what happened there was that the government ended up completely covering the tracks on the behalf of a real thief, a bandit, who was doing central intelligence and covert operations. And, of course, this is what the secret government permits so many of these agents and even contract agents to carry out outrageous criminal activity, fraud and deception and business fraud, murder and drug smuggling and all of these outrageous kinds of actions. And as long as they're doing something for the covert operations or secret government, they're all kind of given that old get out of jail free card that everybody jokes about. And of course the truth is, with these operatives, it's not a joke. And it's taking advantage of American citizens.
Well, this is a deadly game, and most people have no idea that we have professional assassins out there. And, of course, I've had three of my guests that I've talked to on repeated occasions assassinated. I've had three of people on who were professional assassins who went around killing people or, you know, trained to kill people for our government.
Absolutely.
People say that couldn't be going on in America. And I say, why couldn't it? I mean, when a country turns against God, what would you expect? We'll be right back in just a moment with Bob Fletcher to explore this and so many other incredible stories. Well, Bob, go right ahead.
Well, and the
the bottom line was, and again, I don't want to get into that whole story again this evening, but the I was basically taken advantage of by a central intelligence operative carrying out secret operations. They were utilizing my small business as a covert front under which they would carry out these arms operations and things of that sort. They do it all the time. And again, the amazing part was once we started moving forward legally, we were just stopped completely in our tracks. The entire operation and all of everything they had done to me was classified, and that was the end of it. So you can't go anyplace, you can't bring witnesses, you can't really go and sue anybody. If it's classified operations, they just shut it down. And, of course, that was the beginning of myself getting involved with, at that time, of course, it was the Iran-Contra business in the, like, 87. And from that point forward, I started doing investigations that were all always interfaced and connected with each other. And by that I mean it was the same people that were doing something on the left hand, and then two or three of them would get together and they would be doing something else a couple of years later, and then a couple of other guys would be mixed with them and they'd be doing another kind of a covert or an illegal actions and being protected by the White House and that magic stamp that says top secret. And as soon as they stamp any of the paperwork on that, then whatever has taken place by these characters is completely covered by Uncle Sam, and you can't go anyplace. And this is the problem that we also get into when the average public tries to move forward, and, for example, when there's bad laws or there's something like the identification cards they're going to try to put onto us and other types of bad legislation that's passed, when you go and you try to stop it, if any of it's got anything to do with secrecy at all, and of course many of the laws like the terrorism laws, etc., those are connected to secret operations or secret personalities, so they stamp at that, and then so you're stopped. In other words, you can't take your legitimate complaint as a citizen before the courts because they say, oh, well, that part of that bill is classified, or part of this action you're talking about was classified.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Bob Fletcher. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Christy, he's just talking about his frustration as he begins exploring what's going on behind the scenes and finds out that the government covers up for all sorts of illegal, immoral, and wicked activity by saying it's top secret. Oh, it's all in the name of national security. And everybody's in favor of national security. That's why, of course, we can't let the public know what's really going on. And, of course, this is used over and over again to actually conceal criminal activity on part of key people working for our government, and some of them involve murders, some of them involve torture, some of them involve unspeakable activities, but of course, as long as it's marked top secret, why, you can't even talk about it. And since we've run into this with some of our friends who've worked for the intelligence agencies, and they're very limited in what they can say. So pick the story up there, Bob.
Yes, and a good example of some of the things that a lot of people say, well, that's got nothing to do with me, and that would never cross my path. Well, that's true. Fortunately, that is true for most people. I was thrown into it totally as a surprise for myself, and of course, then I took the ball once I realized some of the outrageous things that were going on, which I otherwise would not have been aware of. Then I pursued it and started doing investigations for several different congressional offices. I had been a federal witness involved in the Iran-Contra investigations, and so I took the ball, moved forward, and did investigations rather covertly myself, as a matter of fact, in some cases, for several different Senate and congressional investigations. Some of the ones, actually, in the last 10, 12 years that would actually be considered probably some of the biggest events in our history. I was involved with, the Iran-Contra hearings, but then I was involved with the congressional investigations on the October surprise, which was the old 1980 story in reference to George Bush and Ronald Reagan running against Jimmy Carter for the presidency and cutting the secret deals behind the backs of the government at that time with the Iranian people that had taken hostages.
And of course, basically the idea was that they would not release those hostages until Ronald Reagan was inaugurated in the White House. Is that right?
That's correct. It was actually, they promised billions, with a B, billions of dollars of weapons and other such supplies, etc., if the Iranians would hold the hostages that they had taken in leading into the 1980 elections. And what they said was, if you hold the hostages back, Jimmy Carter will look like a fool, and we'll be able to win the election. And when Ronald Reagan and George Bush would win that election, they would see to it that the Iranians were given all of these weapons, et cetera, et cetera. This did take place. I was involved with the investigations that was put together at the Congress. But again, it was one of these deals where the Congress was limited so much and lied to, and again, the top secret stamp came in so many different times that we were unable to prove that, so of course it fell to the wayside.
Well, let me ask you a question, because I always wanted to wonder. There was a gentleman named Rusbacher, and of course he claimed that he had flown a Bluebird over there, a Bluebird high-speed plane, to Paris with George Bush. Do you think there's any truth to that story?
Yes, sir. Yes. I knew Mr. Rusbacher myself. I had met him and talked to him on several occasions. My opinion is that that was absolutely true.
He was one of the most amazing people I've ever met. I will have to admit that, I mean, his story is so incredible. Well, I fear it is true.
Yes, yes. And as you're asking me, and I did directly do investigations with and if on the behalf, if I remember correctly, it was Congressman Dante Fisel out of Miami, Florida, and his offices, I believe, was the offices with whom I worked in that particular investigation. And I supplied them myself with sufficient documentation collected, and actually through operatives and through agents themselves. I supplied them with the documentation that when they had completed the congressional report, there was about 55 pages that were blank because they were all classified, not to be shown to the public. And I had supplied them with 75 pages, and the 50 or 55 that they put top secret stamp on was supplied to them by myself. And it included all kinds of things. It was actual internal memos in reference to this this covert operation that was being done, this blackmailing, if you will, being set up by, at that time, it was George Bush was vice president to Ronald Reagan, or was running as vice president. He was had been, of course, involved with the CIA for years, and he was a primary character in setting up that October surprise missile deal. And not only him, but other people that were involved. But I had the internal memos. We had even refueling credit cards that refueled some of the airplanes secretly, and things of that sort. And all of those memos and internal bits and pieces that I was able to generate and supply to the congressional offices for the investigations were classified top secret, and when the report came out, they failed to go anyplace with it. And of course, basically, again, it was a non-proven event from their point of view. You have to remember what happens quite often is some of these people at the congressional and Senate level that theoretically are do these investigations, when they never go anyplace, it's usually because two-thirds of them or half of those people are being blackmailed. In other words, they themselves have been involved with other criminal activities, one manner or another. Maybe it was taking bribes, maybe it was changing papers, or maybe doing document alterations. But they've done something or two or three things sufficiently criminal enough so that they don't dare throw stones at other congressmen or senators and point the fingers at them, lest they'd end up being have the whistle blown on themselves. So it's pretty hard when these people talk about doing Senate or congressional inquiries. Most of the time, it's absolute baloney, and it's, you might as well forget it. The numbers of people that have ever gotten in trouble with these Senate and congressional inquiries are you could count almost on your hand, and they just don't go anyplace. You're just not going to see much action in that.
Well, you know, Chris, the whole history of the Iranian hostage crisis has been totally falsified. I mean, I personally talked to American ambassador to Laos, who actually went on to become the American ambassador to Iran, and he was there the first time the Iranians moved in to seize hostages. They didn't keep them, but they did come back again later, and the things he told me make me understand that the whole thing was engineered, not, you know, there in Tehran, but in Washington, D.C. They wanted those hostages taken, and then, as you remember, Congressman Don Hansen, I think it was, went over there and negotiated the release, and they didn't want those hostages to come back. And, of course, they were simply pawns in a vicious game. And, of course, they were ready to give them to Jimmy Carter until the October surprise negotiations. And they kept those hostages, who were simply pawns in the game, there until for the very morning when Ronald Reagan was inaugurated. And I'm sure you've heard that story. It was a cold, wintry, blustery morning, and everybody was there with their umbrellas. It was raining, and then Ronald Reagan was just about to come down the stairs to be inaugurated when suddenly the announcement was made that the Iranian hostages, American hostages in Iran, had been released, and suddenly the parts clouded. The sun shone down. People's clothes immediately dried out. And we were started a new day. Ronald Reagan was in the White House.
Right. And of course, well, you know, what better way can a president that has been running, or somebody that's been run for the presidency on the basis of being strong and dynamic and aggressive and pro-American, and what better way for it to appear than the day of his inauguration, the enemy over there at that time, rebellious Iranians, release all these prisoners and say, you know, with the impression there is that they were scared to death of the new president and that they better release them. And, of course, the truth was that behind the scenes they were promised billions with a B in weapons and cash. They actually got it. They got that money. They got the weapons. And it helped continue what they had over there, which was this 8-year war between the Iranians and the Iraqis, which ended up killing millions in the desert between Iranians and the Iraqis.
And not only that, but of course we've been instrumental in bringing the mullahs to power. I mean, the Ayatollah Khomeini had been over there in Paris, you know, under the protection of the CIA, and then they moved in, they toppled the Shah, they brought the Ayatollah to power. Now we've got these radicals there, but the backing of the CIA. Now we've got these wonderful enemies, and of course, here and we are in 2007, talking about going to war with the very enemies we placed in power back there in 1979 and 1980, and the average American has no idea what's going on. It's all a game, ladies and gentlemen, and of course, Bob can fill in lots of parts of this that I had not heard of before, and well, one of these days we'll have to do them. An entire story on that. But of course, that was the October surprise. And of course, there were all sorts of efforts to say, oh, it never occurred why we would never have made any deal with those wicked Iranians to hold those Americans hostage. Why, we were all wearing yellow ribbons. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, the bumper stickers and all.
Yeah. Well, nobody will ever underestimate the foolishness of the American people. Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, the And then, of course, one of the other investigations I was involved with was the Manuel Noriega situation, when George Bush decided that all of a sudden we were going to invade Panama and arrest Noriega because he was this terrible drug smuggler. Well, the inside story on that was, which people, particularly the people that are the George Bush worshippers, hate to hear about this, but the bottom line was that George Bush had been involved with the drug operations that he was accusing Manuel Noriega of being so profusely involved with, and they were utilizing Central Intelligence operatives to fly drugs from South America into Manuel Noriega's backyard, and then from there they would come on up to the United States. Well, in the middle of that ongoing operation, about $100 million over a short period of time had disappeared, and it turned up that the feelings of people in our government, who were criminal drug smugglers, decided that it was Noriega doing the thievery. So then all of a sudden, George Bush comes forward and tells us how scurrilous this character is, and Manuel Noriega, and that he, which of course he was. I'm not to demean the fact that he's an outrageous dictator, so to speak, along with so many others. But the idea was a little bit of people in glass houses throwing stones, because in fact he was a partner with the Bush family in running these narcotics. And of course the deal was, hopefully from George Bush's side of the fence, that our military would in fact kill Manuel Noriega. He would never be captured alive. That was not the intent. The intent was not to capture him. And of course, lo and behold, some good-meaning lieutenant grabbed up Noriega and got him, captured him alive, and notified his superiors that they had grabbed up Noriega. And all of a sudden, I would imagine the faces in behind closed doors were probably pretty upset, because all of a sudden they had a situation where Manuel Noriega is now a live prisoner. Everybody knew about it. The press had already shown that he was caught alive and being transferred, so he couldn't be killed then, and they were kind of crossing their fingers and hoping that Noriega would not come out with his secret weapon that they were so concerned about. And that secret weapon was an entire library of videotapes taken over the last 5 or 10 years prior to his arrest of certain senators and congressmen and high-level government personnel in his country being supplied with prostitutes and even young children and narcotics for their own individual sexual pleasures, and they were videotaped, and in a library of videos that Noriega had stashed away. And of course the big shock would have been to have seen have Noriega be able to retrieve those videos, give them to ABC television, and have that on the ABC news in the evening.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob was simply saying that Noriega, the dictator of Panama, was working very closely with the CIA and with George Herbert Walker Bush, all involved in the drug smuggling. And Noriega was supposed to have been killed during the invasion, and some foolish second lieutenant actually rescued his life. And now they've got Noriega. Noriega's got all sorts of blackmail on American high officials, senators and all, videotapes of them there with prostitutes and children and all sorts of terrible things, immoral depravity, all on videotapes in a library that Noriega had. And so how do they keep Noriega from turning that over to ABC, CBS, or NBC?
Well, what happened, of course, he was now grabbed up and shipped from Guantanamo Bay, I think, is where they first took him, and then, of course, brought him in, I think, to Atlanta at the federal prison. But they went crazy. There was some really interesting footage of that I probably still have someplace. I don't know where it is. But it the showing where we were given orders to our several groups of military there, and they went in, of course, to several of the safe houses that belong to Noriega and Noriega's offices and Noriega's personal home and his assistants' personal homes and all these places, and tore those places apart. And their job was to try and locate those videos, if in fact they existed. Well, I've been guaranteed that they do exist and that they're probably still someplace. He's never come forward with them, never come out with those videos. Probably, I don't know. They're stashed away someplace. Exactly what took place, I'm not positive as to what kind of a deal may have been cut relative to telling Noriega, keep your mouth shut about any of that stuff. Don't have anybody go and get it and deliver it, which is what he originally threatened to do, and that they probably would permit some of his family to live and permit him to live.
Well, he's even going to get out of prison here now. My understanding, sometime, if he's not already out, he's to get out fairly soon.
Well, supposedly, I don't believe he'll ever get out, period. I think it's one of those situations where they'll just kind of roll him over and over. But he was not put to death, and as far as I know, his family was left alone for the most part. And that may have been the deal that ended up being cut. Now, what happened there was I was actually contacted by the lawyers representing Noriega at the time that they were moving their case forward against Noriega. And I was contacted, and the law firm said, we will hire you as an investigator. First off, they just simply said, do you have anything that would show that people in the high level of our government was involved with the drug smuggling and could be linked to Noriega? And that was what they wanted to find out about. Obviously, this would be a very strong, almost actually would be devastating information to go to trial and to utilize this as defense for Noriega and simply say, hey, he was in, he was in business with this guy and this guy and this guy in Washington, D.C. in the drug operations. They had contacted me, and they simply asked if I had anything on that. And I said, well, the answer to that at that time was that I had never pursued much in that direction at that time. I didn't have a lot of it, but that I probably did have some, but that I could, by talking to agents and other people, that I was pretty positive that I could supply them with what they were looking for. So I was hired by and received a pretty good check, as a matter of fact, by and from Manuel Noriega's lawyers. And I put together an investigative package, which, by the way, this is very interesting, and it's important, and it turned out to be pretty scary, Stan. I, of course, set up with these lawyers very secretively. I said, look, nobody's to know that I'm doing this. I said, I'm going to get blown away by some of these drug guys when I come forward with this, so it has to be completely agreed that I would be secretively giving you this information. And the lawyers agreed to that. Now, after I gave them my report, which did show what they needed, they did not use it. And I was surprised, and then, lo and behold, I got a knock on my door about 6 months later, and my entire report package that was to be secret was hand-delivered to me by a person representing Congressman Bill McCollum.
We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. Well, that's Dr. Stan back here. Of course, Bill McCullum is one of the major investigators there in the Oklahoma City bombing, a cover-up, I might say.
That's correct.
And I'm sorry, the Waco
well,
cover-up.
Well, no, yes, in the Waco, but he was involved with the Iran-Contra business, too. Bill McCullum, actually, his offices were utilized to hire mercenaries for Oliver North and the Iran-Contra business.
Well, now, why did they give you back the report that you'd given, you'd prepared on
okay.
the layer?
Well, what had happened was, the bottom line was, I had been, as I say, I had up to that point been involved several times investigatively on the behalf of several Senate and congressional offices. And what took place was they came to my door, handed this back to me, and they simply said, we know everything that you're doing, and you need to shut up and drop out of this. And then the fellow just walked off. He told me who he was. I knew who he was, and he was, again, connected to Bill McCullum's offices. Now, I ran against Bill McCullum as the congressional, since Bill McCullum was a Republican, I ran as a Democrat against him in the congressional race of 1990. And McCullum knew that I knew that he was directly involved criminally, and that's my opinion, he was carrying out criminal activities out of his congressional office as it related to Ollie North's businesses and the gun smuggling and all of that and several other things that I was aware of. So the bottom line was, Stan, that what they had done was, they, number one, they wanted to find out how much did I know to connect drug operations into the White House, how much could I prove, and could I be threatened by having them come back and say, hey, you know, you delivered this as a secret package. We know all about it. We've got all of it. We know what you're doing, and we're keeping an eye on you, and you need to shut up. Basically, that was the message that was delivered to my front door.
Well, did you shut up after that or not?
No, I'm afraid that just made me more angry, Stan. And so I just went on from there.
Now, I thought McCullough was in Florida someplace, wasn't he?
Yes, and I was in Orlando at that time.
All right, fine, because I know you're living up in Idaho, I think, now.
Right. I mean, I've lived a handful of places in the last 20 years. I was in Orlando, ran as the against him in the Orlando Congressional District. Matter of fact, did exceedingly well, and
Hold on, we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob Fletcher is an amazing individual. I've talked many times to Bob before, but never got as much information about his acting as an investigator for various congressmen, and of course he was involved in investigating the drug smuggling activities, not only of Manuel Noriega, but of course of the CIA and key people in the White House who are working closely with Noriega. But because he had that information, he was threatened. He says that one of the people who worked for Bill McCullough, Congressman Bill McCullough, who of course helped to cover up what happened in Waco, Bill McCullough came and threatened Bob and told him just to be quiet and to stop his investigation. And so what happened after that?
Well, and of course, the Noriega case just sort of went and did its cycle, et cetera, and faded off into never-never land, and nothing was ever genuinely done about any of the information I had generated. I did later on, you know, there, as a matter of fact, you talk about Bill McCullum coming down on the cover-up, so to speak, with the Waco and all the rest of that. And he sat on the investigative committee as it relates to the Ollie North thing, the Iran-Contra stuff, you know. And he made, like he was a third party, you know, here he was a congressman trying to get to the bottom of it and all that stuff, when in fact they were hiring mercenaries in his office to deal and work with, and is mentioned in the personal notes of Oliver North, his handwritten notes. So, and a couple of years later, it turns up to to make the appearance as if he's trying to investigate. And then, of course, as you mentioned, he was kind of involved with the smoothing over or the cover-up on the investigations of the Waco murders and all of that stuff that took place. And there was one guy there who was on extreme odds against Bill McCollum and those other guys, and that was a congressman named Sonny Bono. And I don't know if you recall, but...
Yes, he was a tree jumped up and hit him.
Yeah, that's correct. Well, now, Sonny, during the investigations of the Waco business, became very emotional. He was really upset because the bottom line was he knew and realized that our government had, in fact, killed these people and that there was exaggerated, distorted lies about the people in the Waco, the Davidian situation, and there were lies and exaggerations, and that, in fact, that we had killed children and saw to it that people burned to death and were shot, etc. And Sonny was very upset by that, and Sonny was had gone through the first couple of years of shock and awe of him, of his own, when he had gotten to Washington, because he had realized how corrupted and how vile all the operations were in Washington. And because he was one of the guys that stepped forward and was a good guy, they were after him all the time.
Yeah, well, he never should have gone skiing by himself, that's for
sure.
And
what had happened with that, as a matter of fact, I had done, during the business with the Waco and other things that were being investigated, I had worked with Sonny Bono's people. And I had been working for a couple of years, had gotten to be pretty close friends with the administrative assistant that ran his office. And at one point in time, he asked me, later on, this was like 96 or so, around that period of time, had asked me what I was doing. And I said I had just completed some investigation. I was doing this, and I was very involved with the Patriot Movement at that time, and was doing this thing and that thing. And he asked me to fill him in on what the last thing I was doing. And I said, well, the big deal was these amazing drug connections that I had discovered, and other people had brought to me all of these different things about the drug connections into the White House. I said, you know, and into Washington, D.C., and, high-level ambassadorial persons, et cetera. And I said, you know, this is outrageous. So he said, well, when you finish that report, I told him I was working on it. At that time, I was going to put together an expose on it. And he said, when you finish it, give me a call and let me know. So I completed it, and I took a trip to Washington, and I told him, I said, hey, here it is. I've got this finished. I put it into a videotape form. I said, I have all the documents to go with it, but I have so that you can understand the connections of all these characters. I've done it on a videotape. And so I left it. It actually was several months later, and by that I mean maybe 3 or 4 months later, I received a phone call. And I was living in Los Angeles at the time. I received a phone call from Sonny Bono's, his administrative director there, and he said, Bob, Sonny has finally had the opportunity to go over that report that you gave us. And he said, Sonny will... By the way, this call was about December 21st. And he said, Sonny has decided that he wants to do a full congressional investigation into what you have supplied us. And he said, there's 3 or 4 items on the report that have absolutely knocked Sonny right off of his chair. And he said, Sonny will be on the Intelligence Subcommittee beginning the first of next year, right after the Christmas holidays. And he said, the first thing on our calendar is going to be the report that Bob Fletcher has supplied us with. And if you will work with us, we're going to get into this and go as far as we can. And he said, the big deal is Sonny will have subpoena opportunity, the ability to subpoena people. So they can't sidestep us. We're going to nail them to the floor. So I said, okay, that was great. I said, that's terrific. And the ramifications would have been horrendous, Stan. This report I had was earth-shattering. It had statements on videotaped and written by drug operatives naming people in Washington, D.C., explaining how they set up the financing of the drug operations, how they carried them out, et cetera, et cetera. And that was December 21st. 10 days later, Sonny Bono was killed on the ski slopes. And when I got that message, when I saw that, my heart went right through the bottom of my feet. And I realized right away, I just said, Sonny has been killed because of the report that I had supplied him with. And I followed it like everybody else. I made a call. This was very important. I made a call immediately to Washington, D.C. to speak to my friend of about 4 years and to not only for condolences, but to ask him, you know, find out, hey, what do you know about Sonny being killed? What happened? What's the story? And my friend never responded to my calls. He would never answer my calls again, which simply added to the fire as far as I was concerned. When he never answered my calls after having dinner and lunch with me a few times over the last 4 years and actually being the key person there, I knew that Sonny had been murdered. So I attempted to get the autopsy of Sonny Bono. It had been kind of classified. They hadn't put it out any place at all, had not put it out even to Sonny Bono's mother, who was jumping up and down because she said that he was murdered. And it took me about 60 days, and I was able to get my hands on the autopsy report. And in reading the autopsy and doing some studying on this, I'm afraid that I was absolutely right that Sonny was more likely murdered than injured by running into a tree. There was a lot of reasons why. In the autopsy report, typical example was that there was no injuries to his hands or his arms from fending the tree off. There was he didn't have any, you know, responsive injuries to his hands like you would normally protecting yourself if you were going to run into a tree. The tree was located in a manner such that you could not maintain high speed. You would have to go over another tree that was laying down and around a big rock in order to hit this tree, so that kind of messed that up. Most people, when they die, and there's not too many people that die hitting trees skiing, as a matter of fact, but most people that do die like that or die from a broken neck. There was no trauma whatsoever to Sonny's neck. And additionally, there was no tree residue, even in the wound in his face, where the front of his face had been smashed in. There was no residue removed from that wound. Now, to me, simply that means somebody hit him in the face, maybe with something like the back end of a .45 pistol. Somebody that hit him in the head, and that was what had killed him. To add to the confusion of it, as a matter of fact, they did find blood on the back of his shirt and the back of his jacket, but there was no wound on his back whatsoever. So again, now you have to say, well, wait a minute, but that doesn't make sense. And the wound that he had to his face in front of his head, which is what killed him, had nothing to do with his back. So the obvious conclusion is, I guess to an old investigator, is that somebody that grabbed Sonny by the arms from the back and somebody else hit him in the front of the face with a blunt object, and the person that had him in the back gotten a bloody nose in the scuffle, and therefore you had the blood on the shirt and the jacket to make sense out of that with no wound back there. And the bottom line is, I'm afraid that considering all things, that Sonny was probably killed to terminate his his investigations that he planned to launch.
Well, you know, Bob, I believe that probably if you have a good congressman or a good senator, why his office is going to be infiltrated time and time again. I've seen this with congressmen I know very well, and even people working in our state. The people who are working there in the offices are there to neutralize them.
Well, I'll tell you what. Now, the gentleman who was the administrative assistant, actually a close friend of mine, or I consider to be a friend, who never spoke to me again after Sonny's death, I had gone one time, particularly as sticks to my mind, when I went into Sonny's offices in Washington, D.C., and we started talking about a couple of these things that were, pretty heavy duty, so to speak. And he instantly put his hand up to his lips and shushed me quiet, told me, gave me the signal not to say anymore, and then waved me on over, and he said, let's take a walk. And as soon as we got outside in the hallway, did a what they call a walk and talk out in the hallway of the in the congressional building there, he told me, he said, our offices are so bugged that we remove 3, 4, 6, or 8 tapping and bugging devices every couple of weeks, and that we are being totally bugged, every single telephone. And he said, we have to actually re-sweep it, go through with electronic sweeping devices every few weeks in the congressional office and remove the tapping and the listening devices throughout the office. And he said, so we can't even talk. Anything that's serious at all has to be talked about someplace else and can't be talked in the office. And I believe what took place was, like I say, I got the call like about December 21st, thereabouts. 10 days or so later, Sonny was dead. And I believe that he was hit and murdered because of planning to do this major investigation.
Well, I certainly concur with you, and I've always felt that way. For those people who don't remember who Sonny Bono was, he was an actor, dancer. Sonny and Cher, they were a great team, and then Sonny became the mayor of one of our cities in Southern California and ran for Congress, and he was a good man. He was a real patriot.
Yes, he was. He had plenty of money, sufficiently to take care of himself. So he's not a guy that could have been bribed and paid off, and he was a good old American. He was like, we have a lot of guys that will fall into a situation where all of a sudden, like he did, all of a sudden he becomes a congressman, and he gets up there, and he's overwhelmed at how crooked it is. He just can't believe it. And like you said, they talked about putting personnel in. When new guys get in up there and they don't know anything, you don't know where buildings are, you don't know anything when you first go up as a new congressman, and they will assign these administrative assistants to you who are central intelligence agents.
Sure.
In other words, if you're somebody that they're worried about, if you're just some dumbo, and we got some dumbos up there, folks, I'm sorry to, to put it in simple terms like that, we got people that can't even find their way home from up there.
Well, before we get on, I really hate to interrupt you, but I want you to get out your website.
Sure.
I want you to get out your email and your telephone or whatever you want to put out.
Okay.
So our listeners can know how to get information. Bob's got a lot of great information. I've always intended to carry it. I just never gotten around to it. I think I'm going to have to. But let's go ahead and get the information out right now.
Sure. If you would like, I have 6 different video presentations that I've done over the period of several years now. And if you'd be interested, for example, I actually have that report that I referred to that I gave and did for Sonny Bono. I do have that on a DVD. So if you're interested, contact me. You can drop me a note at Bob Fletcher at Post Office Box 216, Bayview, Idaho, 83803. That's Box 216, Bayview, Idaho, 83803. Tell me if you're interested in receiving a little catalog. I'll drop you I have a little single one-page descriptive catalog of all of our reports. Or if you would like to send me an email, you can email me at news@bobfletcher.info.
That's news@bobfletcher.info. News@bobfletcher.info. Go ahead.
And we utilize, it's news and the little A, the little A insignia for at bobfletcher.info. Drop me an email and I'll be glad to, likewise, give me your address and I'll send you a little catalog showing our reports.
And Bob's one of these good guys. He's been around for a long time. A lot of people out there, they have all parts of the picture. And I really believe that Bob's an honest man, tremendous amount of other information on other subjects, and that's for another night. Anyway, you hang on, Bob. We'll just be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program. Well, Bob, we've got Bruce who's been patiently waiting on the line from Spokane. Bruce, did you have a question for Bob?
Well, yes, I'd met Bob many years ago at the start of the Patriot Movement in the 90s as the original grassroots movement during the corruption of the Clinton years. It's
right.
Not that our government didn't have corruption before that, but it was a true grassroots movement. And I met him. In fact, I still have your original VCR videotape with your little animal that showed the company that you're doing before you're infiltrated by one of the little government co-opting groups.
Right.
And that's what started your learning odyssey.
That's for sure.
I've met you several times during the ensuing years, and yes, our government is that dastardly, and yes, they've infiltrated virtually any kind of movement like that, and yes, they do destroy lives on a regular basis, and I know my friends, and I've been affected by it. So many of us have had it. We've had our license plates photographed, our jobs called, our reputations stained, just because we sat around and we discussed what was going on.
Well, Bruce, the thing is that what most people have missed is the spiritual forces that energize these wicked people. That is just what we have to recognize, that it's a political battle, but it's really a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield. There really is organized evil in America today.
I've met it many times. I wish I hadn't, but it's still there. I've seen a lot from all the countries that I've been in, including a couple of the most recent ones. I've been in Kuwait and Iraq and seen the horrors there. I ask Bob if he remembers an editor from the Spokesman Review named Bill Moreland.
Yes, sir, a scurrilous character.
What?
A scurrilous person.
And you're giving him good credit. Yes, he's.
We're out of time, or don't want to be getting us sued for remarks made.
This is personally, totally my own personal opinion of this gentleman. And
between Bob and I, see, he's the one that came up and photographed all of our license plates with his photographer, and then the ensuing troubles began with the federal government, with all my friends, and the systematic destruction of their jobs and their lives.
Yeah, well, I'm sure these sort of things happen. I believe all of our organizations and our churches, they're all infiltrated. Anyway, hey, thanks for calling, Bruce.
You bet.
Bob, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure. We'll look forward to getting you again real soon.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and certainly our guest this evening, Bob Fletcher. Hope you enjoyed our conversation with him. And, of course, if you ever would like to get copies of any of the tapes of our programs or CDs of the programs, while they're available, by calling 1-800-544-8927. We do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family and helping us as we reach out across America trying to educate people about what's going on. If you've not yet seen my talk on Iraq, the Untold Story, it's really basically a summary of all the fraudulent wars of the last century. It comes with a syllabus, which we recommend. And, of course, we have a talk on sustainable development with the syllabus. We have a talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness with a book. We have a talk, one of my favorites, on the forbidden secret that comes with the syllabus. And we do hope that many of you out there will seriously consider getting our material, and of course you have our permission, if we've produced it, to duplicate it. Now we do have some other very, very professional material, like Chris Pinto's Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, the story of the foundation of America and the secret societies that were here at that time, back in the 1600s. And then, of course, we have Riddles in Stone, the secret architecture of our nation's capital. Very, very provocative. And, of course, those are professional. We did not do those. We can't give you permission to copy them. But I will tell you that if you watch them, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. And then, of course, we have, of course, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2 put out by our friend Chris Pinto. We have a VHS of Chris Pinto called The Atlantis Connection. What is the Atlantis Connection? Well, the belief goes back, of course, to the time of Francis Bacon in the early 1600s, that the United States, or what would become the United States, was to be the new Atlantis, the rebirth of the old Atlantis, and this new Atlantis would lead the world to this wonderful utopian world, which is why the bird on the front of the Great Seal of the United States back in 1782, when they accepted the Great Seal, it was really a phoenix. It wasn't an eagle at all. And then, of course, as time went by, they gradually morphed it into an eagle because it would be so blatant. The American people were never to understand the occult roots of our country. Now, what everybody's missed is there were two forces in America. One the Christian, one the occult. And this is what has been really, of course, not taught in our churches. And that initially the Christian influence was predominant, but little by little, step by step, why they gradually, of course, replaced the Christian foundation of America with the occult foundation till today. The occultists are in complete and total control. So our plea to you is, of course, learn what's going on. Go to our website of RadioLiberty.com. Decide you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And, of course, then if you'd like to get the material we talk about, learn how to get it, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then let me suggest that you begin preparing for the difficult times that lie ahead. If you would like to get a catalog, an emergency food from Ready Reserve, why, we'd be glad to send you one, free catalog, or a catalog on health products. You need to have this information. You need to start preparing now, fiscally, financially, and spiritually, for the very difficult times that lie ahead. And I'm not talking about in the years ahead. I really feel, after following things for over 45 years, that we are on the edge of a catastrophe. But understand, behind all of this are powerful spiritual forces, and we are really so fortunate to be living in times like this and to have a personal relationship with our Lord. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.